not sure if you remember last year at our very, very last YG2 meeting, Pastor Mark challenged us to understand our own God-given tasks as part of God's plan. And this was taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10. And he says, I've seen the God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. So this has been like my thoughts for the past 1 year on my God-given tasks. So 2 weeks ago, I took command of a new submarine, RSS Impeccable. You can guess how many submarines we have, but yeah, one of the submarines. And I felt the weight of the immense responsibility the moment I took the command oath for the boat and the people that was put under my charge. So it's been 2 weeks, and the past 2 weeks has been rather challenging, to say the very least. While I'm the new boss of the unit, there are many things that are beyond my control. And when something happens, I tend to overthink of the issue, or they come up with different plans to try to address it. So something happened just this week, without sharing much details. So basically, something went missing, and it was something that had to be accounted for. So when I first heard it, my heart sank, because I was starting to think about, okay, how do I find this thing? How do I recover from it? What's the consequences? And so on and so forth. Because the consequence of this missing item might not be trivial. So during a discussion with some of my colleagues on how to approach this, right, one of my colleagues actually said, "So actually, if you want to get it accounted for, we have a way to make it look right." Well, that totally caught me off guard, and I was like quite shocked about what he said. Like, and I had to pause for a moment, try to be angry, and just very graciously say that let's not do anything that where our integrity is being challenged. And even if there are consequences to be faced, we'll just have to deal with it, because I think that's the right thing to do. And in that, these few days, when I was just thinking about this incident, I was again reminded that it was the Lord Jesus who commanded the sea, and He is the commander of our Lord's army. And while there are many things that we plan to do or try to control in our lives and at work, what really struck me is to really learn to trust the Lord wholly in this position that He has put me in. Even when very difficult decisions have to be made in such circumstances, it even means that we have to kind of go through some investigation. So there's the work front. At home, LV and I are expecting our little one this October. We're going to have a new boss. And as we prepare for her arrival, in terms of all the logistics and our hearts, seems like there are never-ending things to prepare for. And as we approach the EDD of this baby, right, somehow the sense of preparedness is still quite unassuring, despite we progressively trying to get things ready at home, slowly but hopefully surely. So when we look at what everybody else is doing to prepare for the arrival of the baby ahead of time, you know, our social media scrolls telling you, like, oh, should get this, like, 1,000 things to prepare for, we kind of seem to be quite chill about it, at least for me. Not really sure about LV, but I seem to be quite chill about it. And I think mainly because we are also quite undecided on things on itself, like whether what thing to get, what kind of crib, what color wall, what kind of pram, with extensive research, and, you know, still undecided. And yeah, so we are still like quite undecided on things. And even as we try to get ready over the next few weeks, before our life in order become chaos, I'm still trying to find stillness in the Lord instead. And that's something that I'm learning. I see that these are God-given tasks that He has given me, and I trust that He has made everything beautiful in His time, as written in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. So with these two big new role and major changes in life, I'm driven to pray and seek the Lord even more. What do I seek for? I ask of His wisdom in every decision I have to make, every step of the way, to ask for His strength, especially on long days, very long days, and sometimes sleepless night, and even before the baby comes. And to ask for the Lord to really learn, for us to learn to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to us through His word, and to ask the Lord to teach us to really submit to Him wholly and in humility. The song that I've chosen is Speak, O Lord. And it aptly reflects on how I want to approach this in this new role, and and my thoughts about all this, where the Lord had put me in this new area of work and life. It is a humble plea and a reminder to turn to the Lord amidst the hustle of life and work. So if I may ask you to join me in this song, Speak, O Lord, to just consider how we want to approach the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to us.
Thank you, Yochai, for sharing with us. And well, you know, it's always good to be able to see how the Lord will continue to lead and guide us in facing the different phases in our life. And it's always wonderful to look at what God has led us to. We will take up the Lord's word. Well, let's pray before we carry on. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for every task that you have given to us to fulfill. May we seek to do it with a greater sense of faith and trust in you, and also with wisdom for you to guide and lead. We pray that you will also be with us, even as we study your words, continue to enlighten us and bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were looking at this idea of rebuke and how we should be humble enough to receive it. We also looked at how we want to guard against oppressing others or taking a bribe. And, you know, I think we want to be able to live and work and serve in righteousness more ways than one. And also we talked about being patient in spirit, not to end up being proud or arrogant or even angry, right? And I think that's important principles for us to cultivate. Now, today we're going to go into a little bit more about, okay, how do we look at having wisdom concerning life matters? And we'll talk a little bit more about finance also today. I think, remember, we did talk a little bit about how do we look at financial things. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of inheritance and so on and so forth. But I'd like to take it from a standpoint of how do we look at money matters and so on. Right? Okay, let's look at verse 10. And verse 10 says, "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." Now, we're going to focus a little bit on the thoughts that Solomon had. As we go along, we want to be able to appreciate where Solomon is going with all this. Now, as you recognize, you know, when we look at the whole book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, chapter 2, really had to do with all the things that he's chasing in his life, things that he's pursuing, and he finds all vanity of vanities, all kinds of struggles. And then we came to chapter 3, talks about, you know, God given tasks, all things will be beautiful in his time. Chapter 4, we talked a bit about oppression, and two are better than one. So there were certain things that he was working with, right? And then when you come to chapter 5, there were different sections in which he was trying to apply wisdom and understanding. Sometimes it was his own thoughts. And then you go back to vanity or vanities, chapter 6. Now when you come to chapter 7, it was really more a little bit like Proverbs, where he will have certain thoughts that he will bring in concerning whether it is a good name, whether it's about a rebuke, and then today we talk a little bit about inheritance and so on. So sometimes it's a little seem like a bit random, but I think he's really bringing across wisdom that is to be applied in a context of life. And that's why I talk about wisdom in life matters. And that's what we want to be able to appreciate. Now, sometimes when we inquire things, that's why he says, "Do not say, for you do not inquire wisely." So sometimes when we inquire things, we want to be able to ask ourselves whether we are wise in our inquiry. Not that you cannot ask, it is wrong to inquire, but rather how do you ask? Sometimes when you ask something and you choose the wrong words or you put it across in a way, it can be misunderstood, right? Or it can, or you are bucking up the wrong tree because of your perspective. So sometimes it's good to be able to have wisdom, to be able to make inquiry. And that's what he was trying to bring across. Because he raised out this issue. What people may inquire, why were the former days better than these? Now, you probably heard of this saying, the good old days. The past is better and we should go back to the past. Things are very different now. I really don't like the present. We should go back, how I wish we could go back to those old days. And I think as you grow older, you probably feel it a little bit more, like me, right? You tend to, reminisce, the good old days. I'm sure you hear this from your parents, your grandparents, and say, those were the days. But is that the best way to look at things? Right? And what is wrong with the present? Right? So people speak of the past is better than the present. And the thing is that sometimes we can be stuck in the past. We somehow feel that the past is better, and maybe partly because we are not adapting well to the present. That's the challenge. Now, we will all go through different phases in life, whether it is planned or even sometimes it's unplanned. But we will go through different phases, right? I mean, when we talk about life as we start off single, right? All of us start out single, right? Okay, I think that's normal, right? And then you choose to get married. And then when you get married, say, wow, this is married life. How I wish I was single again, right? And then, after you get married, you have one child, you have two child, and then many more come along the way. Then you say, maybe better if we didn't have children at all, right? So the thing is that we all have, is there a fourth? This one not yet, when you become grandparents and all, then you, by that time, not too bad. Okay. Because you can do whatever you want, right? So we tend to, right, even when it comes to work, same, right? Okay, you start out as a worker, executive. Then you become a supervisor. Or then you become a manager. And then you become management. And then you think, why I take on all this kind of responsibility? Why do I have to deal with these people? They're impossible. This is an impossible job. True or not? Right? We all tend to look back and say, hey, this one is better. I'm not saying that, that's all that we think about. But the tendency is that we tend to go back and say, hey, you know what? Maybe what it was like, that was better. And the thing is that the challenge that we want to be able to have is that we don't want to get stuck in the past. It is important for us to look at what is present. You have made certain choices in life, and this is the current present situation. You have to learn to adapt, and so on and so forth. I mean, you look at the world, it's changing like crazy. You have AI now. Everything is AI. Every single thing is AI. Everybody is turning to AI. Right? And then if you read the news today, we are really considering nuclear power. Right? I thought, wow, very interesting. They're even looking at modular reactors, small modular reactors. Right? Not those huge nuclear, I was going to say nuclear warheads, no, not looking at the world warheads, but nuclear, plants, sorry, yeah. right? And but now they say, oh, you actually have small modular reactors, and you know, it's possible. Or you can share with another country, right? You have one nuclear plant, and then you can share with Malaysia or something like that. Wow! So those very quite interesting ideas. But the thing is that things are changing, whether it's by choice or by, you know, no choice of yours. Situations will change. And the thing is that there's no point thinking or getting stuck in the past. The challenge is you need to move on. You want to be able to say this, right? So that's why we say, oh, former days are better. Those days are better, right? Things are so different now. The challenge is we want to be able to adapt. Focus on what is new and what is really, in more ways than one, better. Right? True or not? Or is it, well, I'm just talking to myself. Right? Gabe, what do you think? Is it true? And times we think, okay, we prefer this, we prefer that. But sometimes we make certain decisions in life, it will, you know, you can't unchange it anymore. True.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still quite young, so I don't think I have a lot of past to look back on. But I think the idea for me, if I do think of like, oh, like how sweet are the old days and all that, it's the idea is simplicity, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that's the word that comes
correct.
To mind.
So you're right. We want to, you know, because when you move along in life, things become even more complicated. You're right. Right? Things were simpler. How I wish we were studying again. Very simple, right? But now work life, wow, so complicating. Right? Got to deal with this, got to deal with managers, got to deal with colleagues, got to deal with so many things. Study better. So that's why we all go back to studying, right? And so on and so forth. Right now, Alistair, go back. Okay. Let's see what Alistair says. True or not?
It's not always better. Next week, I have exams. But I think sometimes you just want to cruise in life. And like what Gabe says, like, life has become more complicated, more complex.
Yeah,
and you don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and that's the thing about life, you see. We all want it to be simple, to remain simple, so that our life... And the word that you use is not just simple, it's ease, you see. We all want to look at things on the easier path. But reality cannot be. If you want this, if you want that, if you want to, you know, get married, sure, fine. Go ahead, enjoy. Right? Courtship times, very good, everything is fine. Once you get married, things change. Got to look into the house, got to look into chores, got to look into, you know, looking after different things in life. Sure, of course. Right? But should we then get stuck in the past? No. We move on. And life is such that we need to be able to say, we need to move on. And that's important for us to learn. Okay, so that's the first part. Now then we go on to the next part, which is verse 11. And he says, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. Okay, now this has to do with inheritance. And the thing is, sooner or later, we will have possibly some inheritance. It could be... right, from parents or from relatives. But I would like to deal with it from a financial standpoint. So we take it from a bit more general standpoint, but nonetheless, let's deal with this. Okay? And usually after the demise of the benefactor, right, and it is to whoever it is the beneficiary, right, you will have that blessing. And of course, it should be something that is received with gratitude and so on. Now, the thing is that we need wisdom. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. So when you receive an inheritance, or let's just say if you have a certain sum of money, What you do with it is important. Whether you are able to manage it. Right? So we want to be able to have that kind of financial prudence to manage things carefully. Because if you do that, and then it goes on to say, profitable to those who see the sun. Who see the sun, basically a person who is still alive. It will be profitable to you. Meaning, it will go a long, long way. The inheritance or whatever sum that you have, if you are prudent, if you're wise, you will stretch those funds, and it will go a long way. Right? But if there is no wisdom, if you do not apply wisdom, then that inheritance, no matter how big it is, it will not last. It will, in fact, be wasted very, very quickly. And I tell you this from what I've observed, what I've seen, even from others. And I've known of people who, you know, you can have a six-figure inheritance or even more. And within a few years, that money can just disappear. And you also don't know how is it possible that you can lose so much, you can spend so much within a few years. But it will still disappear because there is no wisdom. That is the reality of life. I've heard this before. I've seen this happen because there's foolishness, really. And the thing is that we all want to be able to have the kind of financial prudence that would help us not just for now, but for the long term. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Okay, so recently I met my banker, I met my insurance agent. They all recommend, oh, you must buy this, you must buy that. And I say, okay, let me consider. Still considering. and so on and so forth. But I think it's important. Of course, everybody, their risk assessment, I mean, your risk in terms of investment is very different. As I mentioned before, I'm very low risk kind. And I don't want to worry. I just want for it to have interest and so on, right? But the point is that you want to be able to... Is there anything wrong with getting advice and so on and so forth? Nothing wrong in itself. Okay? Right. Any question concerning funds and things like that? And I tell you why this is important. Sometimes we all don't like to look at money matters. Well, I mean, as if you are married as a couple, it's important, right? Because you got to think about your spouse, you got to think about the future. If you have children, you got to think of them, and so on. Okay. Now look at verse 12. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. Okay. Well, I thought this was a very important word of wisdom. Really, a good principle to work with. That means, why do we want to safeguard, whether it's inheritance or the funds that we have? Because it will become your defense. I thought it was a very interesting perspective to have. One, wisdom as a defense. Two, money. Now, of course, we don't want to go crazy as in money is everything. We want to make as much money so that we will, you know, and that's not the point. Okay? It's not about, you know, we're not talking about covetousness. We're not talking about, you know, money is the root of all evil. That, we all are aware of those things and we don't want to go there. But the point is that nonetheless, if we manage our funds well, right, and our wealth well, right, it will be your defense. And what are we talking about? Right? Because wisdom will give you possible solutions to problems. Money can be a good source of help in facing life challenges. And you don't know. We live in a world where there is the vagaries of life. Things unexpected, surprises will happen. When you least expect it, it will come. That is the reality of life, and we all understand this. So recently, I just heard, you know, somebody was sharing with me, a friend of his, went on a holiday, suddenly collapsed and passed away. Just like that. That's the reality of life. Right? And you keep hearing things like this, and, you know, especially in my age. Right? There was this somebody who came out with this thing. I don't know why are all these men in their 50s all dying. I'm in my 50s. Right? I'm still, you know, hoping 60 will come soon and then I'll get out of this zone. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that I believe in these things, but people say all kinds of funny things, right? I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's the reality of life. And you want to be able to have a good defense. I don't know whether you've seen money as a defense before, right? Well, thank God for Yo Chai. He's in charge of a submarine, in charge of our waters, the defense of our Singapore waters and beyond, and which is great, right? But money as a defense is a good defense, actually. Why? Because it makes us so much more ready for this kind of unexpected things in life. Right? I don't know whether you thought about this before, where you look at wisdom, so you want to accumulate a whole reservoir of wisdom, you want to accumulate wealth as a defense. Now, I'm not saying go crazy. That's not the point. But rather, it is a means for the defense of yourself and your family. I don't know whether you ever thought about that before. Okay, anybody, any questions? What do you think? Joel, what do you think? Okay, let's shift to this side. Let's ask all those going to get married soon. What do you think?
It's quite funny because we were just joking about looking at our funds just perpetually drop as we plan our wedding.
You have no choice, the one. You have to for now. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think I've never really seen money as a defense.
Yeah.
I think I have a question as to why does Solomon suddenly bring up wisdom?
Why see it as a defense?
Yeah, why does he make that comparison?
Okay.
That parallel?
Yeah, good. And the question is, it really has to do with life, you see. And that's why I raised up this idea of defense in the context of when you look at life, right? You go through life and there are different stages. And each time when plan, you make decisions concerning the next phase, So like as you say, you are going to get married and then you got a plan concerning the house, concerning, and so on and so forth. Wedding and beyond. So you need to plan, right? But yet at the same time, life is never smooth. That's why I used, there will be the vagaries of life. Things unexpected will happen. And the question is, are we, one, prepared? Right? Are we ready for these things? Do you have, so there are two things here, right? There's wisdom and the question of funds. And they can become a good source, or at least when you talk about having to deal with the situation and being able to have this defense, meaning it will help you deal with the problem. Right? It could be, so these are things that help in terms of solutions. Like, for instance, okay, when you have a family, and in time, what if, okay, you have children, what if one of the, you know, one of the parents were to be injured or even pass away? You don't know. That is the reality of life. And this has happened. I mean, this happened to my godchildren, right? But thank God that more than enough has been provided for. It becomes that defense. It becomes a very stabilizing factor to a certain extent. That means from a financial standpoint, you are protected. That is what he's trying to bring across. Rather than you're left high and dry, which does happen, and as a result, the struggle is even greater as a result because you have not sought to think it through well enough. So it very much depends, you see, right? Now that you are thinking about having, you know, to get married and so on and so forth, you cannot just think about yourself now. You got to think about your wife, right? You got to think about Ling, and you got to think about, okay, this I need to also prepare, right? I mean, like, for instance, my wife also, I mean, of course, we don't have children, but she also has to think of me. Right? So she tells me I've, you know, prepared this, prepared that. For me, eventually, let's just say, even for myself, I also got to think of her. So one of us, if something happens to us, the other person will be more than in, you know? It becomes a defense. You see my point? So that the person doesn't have to, of course, you know, let's just say I pass, she will be so grieved, you know, it's sadness and sorrow and so on and so forth. Right? But not that she needs to worry, but the point is that there's something for her that will help concerning, you know, financial matters. You see what I'm trying to drive at? There is that preparedness that becomes, it can be your protection, it can be your defense, it helps you to deal with the new situation that you find yourself in. So that you have one less thing to worry about. You follow? Right? And to me, that's important. Now, of course, we also trust the Lord. Of course, we look to the Lord for His grace, His mercy, for His guidance, and so on and so forth. Yes, that's important. And that should be the focus. But here we are talking about very practical wisdom. And you need to be able to think beyond. And to see how... So, then when that situation comes in, so part of it is money, part of it is wisdom. How do I deal with the problem at hand? See, things will change. Right? Circumstances will change. You want to be able to be ready. The family situation will change. Your life will change. Circumstances will change. But are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you have one less problem to, you know, to be worried about? Because you have been prepared. Right? And you have that wisdom as defense also. What does that mean? Well, accumulate enough wisdom. And that's what we are trying to do. Accumulate enough wisdom that you know, okay, you know what? There is... that's why he goes on to say here, there is the excellence of knowledge. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. If you have it, it will give you life. In the midst of all the difficulties of life. Are we prepared? Have we thought about it well enough? Both from a financial standpoint, from a wisdom standpoint, that it will be your defense. And of course, as you grow old, as you grow older, as you look at life and you see things, that defense must grow, you see. It must become stronger. It must be, you're well protected. And so on and so forth. So I believe in insurance. I believe in all these things. You just never know. I mean, I give you an example. If, like, for instance, you know, Jinky, she had, she planned and she had all insurance done properly. And then she had her heart attack. If she try and get her insurance now, nobody's going to insure her. But because she settled all these things, it's still in place. It matters. I'm not trying to sell insurance or whatever. I'm just trying to tell you that practically, there's... Actually, I can be an insurance agent, right? I'll quote my wife as an example. You better get it now. Well, that's not the point. The point is that you want, one way or another, it's a very personal thing, but my point is that you want to be ready. You want to be prepared. And sometimes we put it off, we procrastinate, we lay it off, and then until something happens, and then you realize, too late. Right? Even for some of us already, it's too late. Right? And we want to be able to say, okay, let's learn from this. Right? Okay. What do you think? Alina, what do you think? Yeah.
Definitely seeing it play out in my life now. Like the moment the boys are born, we are like thinking, oh, when can we meet our insurance agent to get all the policies in place for them? Because,
yes.
Yeah, we're just thinking if anything happens, they are at least well covered and somewhat prepared for what lies ahead in any unfortunate situations. But I think my takeaway from this is also that actually, perhaps maybe it's our upbringing. We are very aware that money is very important, especially in the Singapore context. But my takeaway is actually that wisdom is just as important, if not even more important.
Yep.
And how do we shore up the wisdom of life to be able to impart to them?
Yeah.
I think that's also what we are thinking about in this stage of life.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You see, so that's what we are seeking to do, you see. Right? So there's the practical part, and then there is the what is it that we ought to pursue? Wisdom. What is it that we really want to grow in? What is it that you want to pass on to your children? That they will understand the realities of life. Right? That life can be challenging at times. And the thing is that I feel that parents or even grandparents and anybody else, when you talk about children, we make things too easy for our children. Because after a while, you see, why are you like that? How come you so? Well, it's because you raise them out the way. But if you learn to help them, learn to face little hardship here and there, build it up, they become stronger, they become more resilient, they will learn to take these things far better. But if we are just padding everything for them, they're not going to learn. So wisdom in being able to help yourself, wisdom in being able to be prepared for the future, wisdom in being able to understand these things will happen, right? And when we do this, right, our lives will be so much more blessed, right? It says here, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life. Your life will be so much more blessed as a result. You will see things very differently. And it will count. It will count for so much more. Really take time to think this through. Don't set it aside, right? One hand, of course, we don't want to get stuck in the past. No point dwelling in the past. What is past is past. Whether good or bad, there's no point for us to remain in the past. What is present is not that we don't look to the past. I mean, of course, we want to appreciate what God has done and so on. Yeah, that's by all means. But we don't want to get stuck in it. We want to move on. We want to look at the present, even the future. But yet at the same time, how do we go forward is important. Whether it's wisdom, whether it is the funds that we have, how you manage these things is crucial for your future. And you don't know what is going to happen. Right? Financially, and also in the choices that you have to make. All kinds of choices that will come about. Do you have that wisdom to make those choices? When unexpected things happen, right? Suddenly you are in a very different situation. Do you have that kind of wisdom to be able to go forward with? And it matters. Okay? Well, that's something for us to consider and to think about. And we'll take it up again next week. Okay, let's pray and then let's collect the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words. Help us, Lord, to continue to learn how to look at life with greater sense of discernment and understanding, whether it is being able to adapt to the circumstances that we are in at this time, rather than to be stuck in the past, but also in terms of having the kind of defense, whether it is with wisdom or with the funds that we have, that would protect us for the future, and especially when we go through the vagaries of life, we will be so much more prepared. We pray that you will bless us and bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name.